Hi, you are listening to the Conflict and Development in Africa podcast. This podcast is for policymakers, governments, researchers, students, businesses, and anyone that is interested in conflict and development issues in Africa. On this podcast, we hear from experts from across Africa and the world. Your host, Dr. Michael Wangpa, will ask the questions you would want answers to. Michael Wangpa has an extensive experience spanning over a decade studying, researching, writing, and consulting on conflict and development issues in Africa.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Conflict and Development in Africa podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Wangpa. Today, we're going to be discussing the Western Sahara, self-determination, and the politics of recognition. I'm joined by an important guest, Ricardo Fabiani. Ricardo is Director of North Africa Project at the International Crisis Group. Ricardo, thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to an exciting conversation.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure.
Brilliant. So let me start off. I think in recent, if not days or weeks now, France has recently recognized the Western Sahara. But before we come before we get there, Western Sahara, former Spanish colony, remains the last African colonial state yet to receive independence. Can you provide like a summary description of the Western Sahara and the dispute surrounding this place?
Yes, absolutely. So the Western Sahara is a territory in the Northwest Africa that used to be colonized by Spain, was colonized by Spain until 1975 when the Madrid government made a deal with Mauritania and Morocco to leave this territory to these two countries that then took it over. This deal was made against the wishes of the local pro-independence movement known as the Polisario Front that had already started the struggle for liberation against the Spaniards before 75, and that then turned on Mauritania and Morocco in its fight for the independence of this territory. In 79, the Polisario Front secured the withdrawal of Mauritania from Western Sahara. So Morocco took over the part that was in the hands of Mauritania. And the Polisario continued to struggle and to fight against Morocco up until 91, when the UN brokered a deal to organize a referendum on self-determination for this territory. However, the referendum was never organized. There was a ceasefire in place that put an end to the hostilities, but the referendum was never really organized, never took place. And that led to a situation, I would say, of a stalemate, of a diplomatic and military deadlock that really lasted until 2020. When the ceasefire collapsed again, this time and the hostilities started again with the Polisario targeting the Moroccan forces in Western Sahara. Then we had the Trump declaration when the US recognized Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara, and a series of diplomatic moves by countries like Spain, France, other African countries recognizing Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara, the European countries recognizing the Moroccan autonomy proposal, which is the main plan by Morocco to settle this conflict, which would see basically the devolution of power to an autonomous Western Sahara still under sovereignty by Morocco. But here, this is where we are right now. Basically, a conflict that has restarted with Morocco making a series of important diplomatic gains, but no solution in sight and no compromise in sight between Morocco and the Polisario.
Let me, in the UN Charter, so we it's clearly ingrained in their self-determination at like a rally pointed in 91, the UN had the peace deal, well, the referendum never had. Well, self-determination itself remains a very thorny and complicated issue, especially in Africa. Maybe in other places, in Spain as well. I have the Catalonians in Spain and in other places. But let's focus in Africa, whereby we look at the territories, the borders that one that were defined or negotiated by the former colonial masters. But we've seen in Africa where, I don't know, for some reason, the African continent, African government have, you know, protected those borders, even though those borders were arbitrarily created. But I guess the question I'm going to is this. If you look at the Western Sahara and look at all the places, like let's look at South Sudan, for instance, where that was granted in 1991. I look at other places as well, maybe Eritrea, and look at Somaliland. How does this inconsistency, if we can put it that way, how does it play out? What implication does it have? Where some have been granted and some are not granted. What implication does this have for those that are still fighting for secession, like in the Abazonia in Cameroon, or Biafra, even in Biafra in Nigeria? What implication does this have?
So look, Michael, this is clearly one of the, I would say, central issues in this conflict. It's clear that countries like Algeria, for example, or also many other countries across Africa, such as the big African states, such as Ethiopia or South Africa and so on, they all look at this conflict as a matter of self-determination, decolonization, but also of borders, right? Their view is that the borders, the post-colonial borders, should not be put again under discussion. We should, this whole issue should not be reopened again. That was a border that the Europeans created, and opening the question of the borders would just create more instability, more tensions. And the Algerians, for example, consider what Morocco is doing in Western Sahara as expansionism. They basically believe that Morocco is an expansionist country that is ready to rediscuss not just the borders that were created by the Spaniards in Western Sahara, but one day also the borders with Algeria and so on, and with Mauritania, who knows, right? This is the Algerian perspective. So this creates an issue, right? Because from the African Union perspective and from the Algerian perspective, the post-colonial borders should never be discussed again. They should just be accepted. But then there is the Moroccan perspective. And the Moroccan perspective is that these borders are artificial. They were created by the Europeans. Why should we just accept them? Why should we just say that this territory was not part of Morocco? And the Moroccans will say 300 years ago, 400 years ago, the tribes that inhabited Western Sahara had a relationship of loyalty to the Moroccan king before the Europeans arrived. So why can't we just accept that these territories were always part of the Moroccan Empire and should therefore be part of Morocco today? So you can see this is extremely complex, extremely, I would say, and potentially very controversial, because then, as you said, it poses the same question for other territories across Africa, right? Where there are, movements and governments trying to secure independence. And I would say the key issue here remains how we define self-determination. And this is, again, where the two sides have a completely different idea. Self-determination in the eyes of the Polisario and the Algerians is through a vote, through a referendum. And the referendum should include the option of independence. The Moroccans will define self-determination in a different way, saying, we have people who vote in regular elections in Western Sahara, so they have already expressed their views through these elections. We don't need a referendum, or we might need maybe a consultation with tribal leaders. So as you can see here, it's an extremely complex issue with two completely different points of view. And I would say there is no simple and clear answer, unfortunately, to all these matters.
Okay. Before I come to this, all this politics involved in it, Let me just this just came to me. What is the threat? The threat of this resistance against the Moroccan, if I use the word expansionist, whatever, from the Polisario Front, you know, also being backed by Algeria. Also, we know that Algeria as well has some kind of like the Islamic State. Or I guess the question is, what is the possibility of that resistance or that fight being hijacked by, for instance, maybe the Islamic State in Africa, like people operating in Algeria?
Well, look, at the moment, the risk is quite low. If there is something that one needs to recognize to the Polisario and the Algerians is that they've always kept a very close, tight lid on this struggle. They've always made all the efforts, the possible efforts, to make sure that there were no other actors from the Sahel, for example, or you know, Islamist actors, jihadist actors, trying to hijack this fight. And this was made through an incredible effort made by the Polisario in controlling the refugee camps, making sure that there was no infiltration by other actors and making sure that there is a full control of the camps. And the Algerian security forces, because the refugee camps are in Algeria, and the Algerians basically making sure that there is no interference in all of this. Now, the effort has been commendable. The issue and the question is whether this will always be the case. There was an episode a few years ago where there was the kidnapping of some humanitarian workers from the refugee camps by some jihadist group in the region. There are some Sahrawis who have joined in the past some of the jihadist groups active in the Sahel and North Africa. And most importantly, there is growing frustration within the refugee camps because many, especially young Sahrawis, feel that the liberation struggle is not really going anywhere, and there is no independence of Western Sahara on the table as a realistic option. And some may be tempted at some point to break out of the Polisario if the Polisario is no longer, you know, from their point of view, the suitable answer to their requests, to their desires. So I'm speculating here because there is no evidence right now that any of this is happening. But the question, I think, is valid, whether at some point in the future, with no independence of Western Sahara on the table, some of these people might be tempted to break away and join other groups or create their own separate organization. Again, none of this is happening as we speak.
We've seen in other places, like you rightly mentioned the Sahel, we've seen where France have been booted out from the Sahel. We've seen the United States. We've seen clear failings in that region of maybe French policies or even in those regions. But clearly, there are interests. All this recognition or non-recognition or misrecognition, right? Because I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, the African Union and some states did recognize the Polisario. And then I think they backtracked on that. And from what we've said, that we can understand the African Union's position, whether they don't want to disrupt the inherited borders. So, but what is the interest of, I could understand, maybe the interest of Algeria, maybe some of these individual states as well in Africa, and then also the external. Maybe first start from Africa, then we can take the first part to look at what is the interest of individual states like Algeria? What do they seek to gain out of this? Is this just one that is just based on ethnic affiliations and all of that? And is it altruistic? Or is there other underlying motivations? And what's the interest of individual countries in Africa that have supported either side of the struggle?
I think we should probably make a distinction between neighbors and the other African states, right? If we look at the neighbors, so Algeria is obviously the biggest supporter of the Polisario, and their interest, I would say, has always been of two different natures, right? One is the ideological interest in supporting the Polisario. The Algeria is a country that has liberated itself from French colonization through an armed struggle, and has a natural affinity, sympathy with similar organizations around the world, whether it's the Palestinians or the Sahrawis in Western Sahara or the African National Congress at the time of the apartheid. So there is the ideological component. There is another component, however, which is the sort of realistic geopolitical reason, right? So by supporting this armed struggle against Morocco, Algeria is weakening also a key rival and competitor in the region, which is, of course, Rabat. They see the support for the Polisario also as an advantage because Morocco is so completely absorbed by the Western Sahara issue that they don't have really resources to play any other kind of international political role, whether it's in North Africa, in the Middle East, in the Sahel, or in the rest of Africa, right? For Morocco, the priority number one remains Western Sahara, and as long as this conflict is on, they cannot really focus that much on other issues. Then there is Mauritania, which is the other big important neighbor. And Mauritania is a smaller country that basically just is playing a sort of neutral role in this, right? They are sandwiched almost between Morocco and Algeria. They are a much smaller country with fewer resources. And the real main interest here is to maintain stability as much as possible and to avoid antagonizing either Morocco or Algeria, which is why they have relations with the Polisario. And let's remember that the Sahrawis in the Polisario are ethnically related to many of the Arabs in Mauritania. But at the same time, they also have very good relations with Morocco. And then if we look at the rest of Africa, really the big story here is the Moroccan diplomatic offensive of the past few years. Since Morocco rejoined the African Union in 2017, after it left it in the 80s, because the African Union had approved the membership of the Polisario, the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, within its ranks. In 2017, Morocco rejoined the African Union, and in those years basically started a campaign to convince many African states, especially the smaller Francophone African states in West Africa, to switch their previous recognition of the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic and to actually recognize Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara. So now the map we have is a map of Africa where you have many smaller Arab African countries recognizing Moroccan sovereignty over Western Sahara, opposed to many of the bigger African countries, especially the English-speaking and especially southern African countries, the ones that have gone through the armed struggle against the Portuguese, maybe, or against the apartheid, etc., that still consider the Polisario and the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic as the legitimate authority. So Africa is really divided in two, and I think this is the big story, the big novelty compared to only 10 or 20 years ago.
Quite interesting. That's quite clear. Now, the picture is quite clear. But on the outside the continent, so we see players like the United States that during Trump, like you mentioned, recognizing Morocco, and then we've seen the switch in recognition from the... What is the interest of, and then we'll see Russia as well. I think Russia is quite neutral as well. What is the implication of the recognition or neutrality or non-recognition from external states like Russia, United States, and you know, before we even come to France, which is the key subject today?
So in the case of the US and Russia, we're really looking at the two countries that, you know, used to be, of course, during the Cold War, the two main superpowers. And we always need to remember that this is a conflict that began under the Cold War, with Algeria having at the time close relations with the Soviet Union, and the Polisario itself was not necessarily a communist movement, but had its own close relations with the Soviet bloc and with Cuba, with Cuba in particular. So this really set, I would say, the stage for a very clear distinction at the time between a pro-American Morocco and a pro-Soviet Polisario and Algeria. Of course, in the 90s, this all came to an end. And with the UN intervention, the Americans, especially in the 90s, that's at the time of you know, the American interventions in most conflicts where they try to broker solutions to what they saw as, you know, these sort of legacy conflicts from the Cold War. They really try to become a more sort of neutral broker in this conflict, right? The Russians sort of left the picture, then the Americans became the dominant power, trying to broker a solution centered on a self-determination referendum. This didn't work out, as we said before. And we came to the current situation. And in the current situation, there's really a very different picture here, because the Americans right now look at this conflict as a potential source of instability and tension. They're really worried about preventing a new source of tensions and violence in a region that has already been rocked by, obviously, the conflict in Mali, the coups in the Sahel, the conflict in Libya, of course, the presence of new external actors like Turkey, Russia, through the Wagner group, the French, of course, are present in the Sahel, the Israelis that are now very much present in Morocco and so on, right? So the Americans are really more interested in managing this conflict, making sure that this conflict doesn't blow up and doesn't create a new problem, not just for Africa, but also for the Europeans, of course. And the Russians are really in a wait and see mode. They are not necessarily interested that much in this conflict. It's not a priority for them. They have other, you know, bigger fish to fry in the Sahel, in Libya, in the Middle East, of course. So, but they have a position that is a position of general support for self-determination, for referendum, for Algeria, of course. This is the country that they still have very close ties, particularly in terms of military cooperation. So they are neutral, but slightly closer to the Algerian position, I would say, even though they are not really willing to antagonize Morocco in this conflict, because it's not really a priority for them in the region.
So this neatly ties into what does France recognizing the Western Sahara? How does it challenge the Western sense of stabilization? That seems to be a departure from the Western kind of position. Or how does that challenge it? That seems to be unlike France. And I know France has an antagonistic relationship to Algeria as well, I believe. So what is the implication of France's recognition of the Western Sahara?
So this is obviously one of the I would say, most controversial stories of the past few months. As you said, France has traditionally closer ties to Morocco than to Algeria, right? Algeria, the relationship between France and Algeria has always been very difficult. But also France is at the same time a country that needs both Algeria and Morocco because of its, you know, migration links, because of energy, because of security in the Mediterranean. So traditionally, I would say France was closer to Morocco, but never really tried to step into this conflict, diplomatically speaking, at least for the past 10 years, too much, right? There was a sort of, I would say, equilibrium, a balance in this conflict, which saw the Europeans supporting the Moroccan autonomy plan as the best solution to this conflict, but without really identifying this plan as the only solution. They basically said, it's a good idea. You know, Polisario and Morocco, you should explore this idea, but we don't want to predefine the solution of this conflict, because predefining it would antagonize the Polisario and Algeria. Now, everything started to change in the past few years when Morocco really started to intensify its diplomatic campaign across Africa with the U.S., right, with the change of position in the U.S. In the U.S. with the Donald Trump administration. And then they started pressuring the Europeans, and they started with Spain. And Spain was the first European country that a couple of years ago recognized the Moroccan autonomy plan as the best solution for the conflict. And now they basically set their sights on Morocco, on France, for the past few months, basically saying, if Spain recognized this plan as the best solution, you, France, as our best friend in Europe, you should at least match the same language. And actually, France probably went a little bit further than that by saying that it's the only solution. I can't remember now exactly the language. But anyways, that really sets a new standard, a new expectation by Morocco towards the European government. But it also antagonized massively the Algerians and the Polisario, because from now on, the position, the French position, the official French position is that there is only one solution to this conflict, and that's the Moroccan solution to it, which is why now the Algerians are reacting by withdrawing their ambassador. And we're, you know, we're obviously going to see probably more diplomatic reactions by the Algerians. And then there is the big question of whether the Polisario will, if you like, up the ante and intensify its armed struggle now that they see that the diplomatic, I would say, solution is slipping out of their hands and is really moving in a completely different direction.
Quite interesting. Quite interesting. You mentioned something. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. Yes.
Yeah, you made two analogy. You talked about the Palestine case, where it's quite similar to the situation going on. I talk about Israel's support for Morocco. So do you see, because often we talk about external colonization, I think from what you mentioned before, just seeing the Moroccan stand as one that is in a colonial sense within Africa, where you see a bigger country like Morocco trying to colonize or whatever, seeing that sense. So how does that stand, you know, in parallel to the Palestinian case? And where in the Palestinian case, you see the same, you know, actors have proposed the two-state solutions in Palestine. Do you see a lot of similarities with that?
So this is a very controversial topic, because the Moroccans refuse completely any suggestion that there is a parallel between the situation in Western Sahara and the situation in Israel-Palestine. And of course, Morocco remains, even though it has normalized relations with Israel, it still remains a supporter of the Palestinian cause, and they still support the idea of a two-state solution. So this has not really changed. But from the Algerian perspective and from the Polisario perspective, they actually strongly believe that there is a parallel there, right? They strongly believe that what is happening in Israel-Palestine is also what is happening in Western Sahara, and it's the same cause that they're really fighting for. And indeed, after Morocco normalized relations with Israel, from their perspective, things became a little bit clearer and simpler, right? Because the Polisario started to reach out to the Palestinians, even though the Palestinians are a little bit, I would say, uncomfortable and they're a little bit cautious, because they still want Morocco's support for their cause. So, as you see, there is this, I would say, a little bit of an ambiguity, right, in the background here, because the Moroccans don't want to really give up their support for the Palestinians. They don't want these two situations to be put on the same level. And there are some similarities, of course, in that there is, you know, this the Algerian role and the Algerian support for both causes, and the Sahrawis really see their struggle as very similar to the Palestinian struggle. But there are also some differences here, right? That the situation of the Sahrawis in Western Sahara is obviously, especially if it's different, right? Pro-Moroccan Sahrawis are allowed to vote and to participate in normal political life. Of course, pro-independent Sahrawis in Moroccan-controlled Western Sahara struggle more, and they are usually met with a security repression. But the Moroccans don't really necessarily see the Sahrawis as an enemy. The Moroccans see the Sahrawis as one, I would say, ethnic group within Morocco, just like the Berbers or the Arabs, Moroccan Arabs, or the Sahrawis, right? They don't necessarily discriminate against the Sahrawi identity per se. And the proposal is obviously different, right? The two-state solution is the official solution for the Palestinian, Israeli-Palestinian conflict. On the other hand, the autonomy proposal put forward by Morocco is a very different solution, right? Because we're talking about the one-state solution here. The Moroccans don't want to hear about a Sahrawi state in this territory. On the other hand, Israelis completely reject the idea of a one-state solution or a binational state or anything like that, right? So as you can see, there are some similarities, but there are also some differences. And the perception and the war of narratives between the two sides on this particular issue is very intense, I would say.
Before we come to the last question, there's something I want to ask you. We're talking about the Sahrawis and the Arab. Is there an Arab-African dynamics in this situation?
So historically, the organization of the African Unity first and then the African Union has always tried to play a big role in this, right? They, I would say also to an extent, rightly see this conflict as an African conflict, right? And as you know, the African Union usually tries to prioritize its participation, its role in its involvement in African conflicts before it leaves it to the UN, right? There is this idea that there should be African
solution, you know, African problem.
Exactly, right? So in this case, it doesn't really work. And even though they did play a role in the 80s and they tried sometimes to play a role in nowadays as well, the problem is that the Moroccans completely refused the idea of the African Union actually being involved in this conflict. For the Moroccans, there is only one acceptable framework to deal with this conflict, and that's the UN. They don't want to hear about any African Union initiative. The AU should stay out of this conflict. And the Moroccans have actually been very proactive inside the African Union to neutralize the AU, right? They basically pushed many of its allies within the African Union to make sure that this conflict stays out of the Peace and Security Council. And whereas the Algerians obviously have been trying to do exactly the opposite, right? Making sure that the African Union could be involved. And this situation has really reached a stalemate. It's clear by now that not only the African Union is unable to play a role in this conflict because of this division, of this conflict between Morocco and Algeria, but not only that, the conflict and the dispute between Morocco, Algeria, and the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic inside the African Union is actually having some negative effects on the functioning of the African Union itself. The problem here is that there have been some situations in which the conflict, the opposition between Morocco and Algeria has led to a stalemate where the African Union has really needed a lot of time and resources to unblock the stalemate. And the most egregious example of this was at the beginning of this year when the North African states were supposed to select a new vice president, and the deputy was actually meant to be from North Africa. And there was a complete stalemate because Algeria fielded a candidate, the Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic fielded another candidate, and the Moroccans fielded another candidate, and the North African countries were unable to select a consensus, basically candidate to unblock this deadlock, to bypass this deadlock. And it took several months of diplomacy and negotiations for eventually Mauritania to step up and basically come up with a sort of compromise candidate solution. So for weeks, the African Union was effectively stalemated by the Western Saharan conflict. So instead of solving the conflict has invited itself to the African Union and has had some negative effects related to the effectiveness and the functioning of this institution.
Okay. Let me ask you this last question. So is there... What do you see, I think, is a twofold question. So how do you see this conflict moving forward? So it's been there for decades now. How do you see it moving forward? Do you think is peaceful resolution feasible? And what would that look like in your projection?
So let's start from what we know for sure by now. What we know for sure is that the two sides, Morocco and then on the other side, Polisario and the Algerians, are completely diverging on the idea of a peaceful solution for Western Sahara. For Morocco, there is only the autonomy proposal. And for the Polisario and the Algerians, there is no autonomy proposal. There is only a self-determination referendum. They cannot even agree on this, on the format of potential negotiations, because the Moroccans want a regional roundtable format. So they would like to discuss a solution, not just with the Polisario, but also with the Algerians and the Mauritanians. Whereas the Algerians refuse to be part of any regional roundtable because they believe it's a decolonization matter that should be settled bilaterally between Morocco and the Polisario. So we are at a complete stalemate from a diplomatic perspective. There is no real momentum or effort being made to try and find a diplomatic solution to this conflict. This means that we are now in a very, I would say, potentially dangerous situation, because the Polisario has so far restrained itself, right? There's been basically what can be described as a low-intensity conflict in Western Sahara that has not really created too many damages or problems for the neighboring countries or for Europe. But they're under pressure from their younger generations, refugees, who are complaining more and more, with the Polisario saying, we need to escalate the conflict because there is no other solution. There is no solution other than the armed struggle, and diplomacy will not liberate our land. And so this pressure could actually feed into a wider conflict at some point in the future. And this is a little bit of, I would say, of a potential risk. On the other hand, the Moroccans are pushing ahead with their own solution to this conflict, which is, of course, the autonomy proposal, and is also about securing the support of more and more countries in Europe, in Africa, in America, in the Middle East, to their solution to the conflict and their sovereignty over Western Sahara. And what it looks like is that eventually what they want is to, given that the Polisario is unwilling to consider the idea of an autonomy proposal, what could be a potential solution from the Moroccan perspective is to actually identify another Sahrawi movement to represent the Sahrawis, to represent the moderate Sahrawis, right? So the idea here would be, given that the Polisario does not want to negotiate with us, we should negotiate with somebody else, with another organization. And this opens up another interesting issue, which is who represents the Sahrawis, right? There are no real elections, or there is no real way of knowing who is the legitimate representative of the Sahrawi population. For the international law, it's the Polisario, but this was in the 70s and 80s. Can we still say that the Polisario is the only representative of the Sahrawi? So as you can see, the two sides are pursuing two completely different outcomes. And in the middle, there are some very interesting and potentially explosive issues of, escalation, representation, legitimate representation of the Sahrawis, which I think don't really spell for a very peaceful resolution within reach, but could probably indicate that we are going to witness more and more bumps and problems down the road.
Okay, we will leave it at that and hope that it does look bleak. And I want to add to you that I think it's very complex. It looks very complex and complicated, but I think also the politics of recognition also might be complicating things, or might just be very difficult to do. But thank you very much, Ricardo. This is a very rich, we really appreciate your very rich insight into this very thorny issue that I've been for a while now. It's been for the longest, and still looks like there's no way out. We're very grateful to have you join us. Really appreciate your time and your views. Thank you very much, Adam.
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Thank you everyone for tuning in to another exciting episode on the Western Sahara, self-determination and the politics of recognition. Join me as usual to thank our guest, Ricardo Fabiani, the director of the North Africa Project at the International Crisis Group, for his very rich and insightful views. For now, I say bye and I'll see you next week.